Have your Bibles, I'd invite you tonight to open your hearts to the Word of God as found in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'd like to read verses 17 and 18. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Father, we do open our hearts to your word tonight. We're thankful that the word of God is alive and powerful, able to discern into the very motivation, the intent of our hearts. Lord, we want you to speak to us tonight. We pray that you will have your way as we open our hearts to your word. We thank you for the sense of your presence here tonight, for this sense of fellowship in you. Now we pray that you will speak to us as we think about the cross, in Jesus' name. Amen. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. I'd like to look this evening briefly at the motivation of Paul, at why he did what he did, very briefly. And then I'd like to look, once again, as we talked about this morning, what the cross would do for us. I'd like to turn that over and think about what the cross demands of us, the challenge of the cross to us. First of all, Paul says in the 17th verse that he was not sent to baptize, but he was sent to preach the gospel. There's no substitute for certainty that you're in the will of God. There's no substitute for doing God's will. There may be people that try to be Christian. There may even be people who try to preach the gospel for less reasons, for other motivations, maybe to serve humanity or to escape hellfire, or for more obscure reasons, such as I couldn't face my parents if I weren't professing to be a Christian. But Paul had encountered Jesus Christ firsthand, and he knew what he had to do. And there was no question in his mind why he preached the gospel. He preached the gospel because he knew that it was God's will for him, and because he was sent to preach the gospel. But more than that, Paul preached the gospel not because it was exactly what man needs. Paul didn't come to preach the gospel because it was wisdom and because as he, his brilliant mind grasped the thoughts, the high thoughts, and the theology of the faith, that it intrigued him and he was happy to teach those truths. But Paul preached the gospel because it was true. The basic reason Paul preached the gospel, because it was true, and if it happens to meet man's needs, so be it. Right? Praise God, it does meet man's needs. But if we could get this through our thinking, that the reason we proclaim the truth of God is not because we have found something that will solve your situation, your problem where you are, but because indeed what we preach is the truth. And because the fact of the cross of Jesus Christ is the central fact in history. And when we proclaim it, you may believe it or you may not believe it. You may apply it to your life, you may not apply it to your life. Whether you do is immaterial. And Paul is saying here, it's immaterial as far as the truth is concerned. He's saying here, whether I ever baptize anybody, whether people think I'm smart or whether they think I'm foolish, I have been sent to proclaim the truth. And this is what I'm going to do. And indeed, Paul said, not everyone would hear and receive. And it's a statement here that we need to get through our thinking. Verse 18, the first part, that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to many people. For unless we come to the cross paying the price that the cross asks, we find that the cross is indeed a disappointment. We read this entire chapter, we read about the two basic disappointments that the cross is to people. Verse 22, the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. There are people that want to use the cross to further their ends. The Jews at the time of Jesus were in political subjection. And they had hoped that Messiah would come and be strong to deliver them out of the situation in which they found themselves. And so when Jesus was nailed to a cross and died, as we said this morning, meekly and submissive to the Father's will, the Jews said, here's not the Messiah we want. This is weakness. And then the Greeks, they wanted something for the elite. They were the wise people of the world. And when Paul went to Athens, he found people that didn't do anything. Evidently, they were financially independent. And so they didn't do anything except just to go to the marketplace and hear something new and something that would tickle the ears and something that was nice. Some people say that Paul failed there in Athens as he preached a very profound and philosophical and doctrinal message. Whether he failed or not, I don't know. But he says here, if you're looking for something that will enable you to grasp truth and then save yourself because you're elite and because you're smart, you're going to be disappointed in the gospel because it's simple. Even a fool can understand it. And he said, I came not to preach the wisdom of the world. I came not to preach the strength of the world, but I came to tell the truth of the gospel. And so if the truth is heard with less than submission to God's will, it cuts across what the natural man wants to hear. You can't use the cross selfishly, and the cross does not provide a sure way to fulfill your dreams and your ambitions. Oh, don't get me wrong. There is another side to this. And once you're in the fold, and once the preaching of the cross has become life to you, then there's no sense of limitation. But oh, the songwriter said, when I saw the cleansing fountain, when I saw the cross, open wide for all my sins. Then he goes on to say, my ambitions, plans, and wishes, all I claimed was swept away. Everything at my feet in ashes lay. Until the power that we seek becomes weakness. The Jews wanted power. And if you think of the cross as a fulfillment for your particular situation or your dreams, you may be disappointed. Then if the truth is heard with less than an open heart, it doesn't present a brilliantly devised system which gives the elite something to master. I think of that brilliant Syrian general that had leprosy and came to the prophet Elijah. What a master psychologist he was. He didn't even come out personally and give him the satisfaction of a magnificent healing. But he sent his servant down and said, if you want to be healed, go wash 7 times in the dirty Jordan River. And Naaman almost missed it because he wanted something magnificent. And the wisdom of God is foolishness with man. But the opposite is true too, because in verse 25 it says, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Yes, the preaching of the cross will be foolishness to many. But if the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ doesn't make sense to you, I didn't say it. It's here in God's word. You are numbered among those who are perishing. For it says that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. So if the cross doesn't make sense to you, perhaps it is because you haven't opened your heart. And in reality, the message of the cross is both at once true and wisdom and power, but it does make demands. It does provide the promise of the highest fulfillment of which we're possible. In Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, that great prayer of St. Paul that we used just last week, was it the week before? He says that God is able to do for us exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, and challenge our highest understanding and motivation. And Paul says over in 1 Corinthians that we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, but the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness with him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. You say, Pastor, tonight, what are the demands of the cross? You talked this morning about what the cross does for us, the wealth of the cross. I would say as we come to the cross at this Lenten season, as we come to the cross during this time of revival, The cross demands two things of us. It demands empty hands, or at least a willingness to renounce all that we have and all that we are. Jesus said to the rich young man, if you want to follow me, he said, I want to follow you. Jesus said to him, go and sell what you have. Not so much that Jesus was against rich people, but he didn't want things possessing us. He wanted our hands empty. He said, when you get your hands empty, then you can come and follow me. And I'm concerned when we come to Jesus, even when we come to him, and we say, Lord, you're so lucky to have me. Here I am with my big talent. Really, it took me a long time to humble myself. But finally I've come, and Lord, here I am. And I'm sure down the line there's going to be an opening for general superintendent. And Father, I'll do my best to be as humble as I can with all my talents. But if you'll just groom me, I'll fit into that big slot for you. And I know I'm overplaying it this evening, but what I'm saying, when you come to the cross, you have to come and open up your hands and say, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. I can say in my own ministry, just about everything I told the Lord I didn't want to do, if I really meant it down in my heart, I can't do that or I won't do that. He's proved to me that I can do it. Not only that I can, but I enjoy doing it. And then God demands, the cross demands, a simple obedience. I know in all honesty there are a lot of questions that come, even in a Christian college, where we have to say the answer to that theological question or the answer to that scriptural question, as far as I'm concerned, is I don't know. I don't understand. And there are a lot of questions out there that maybe other people can give me the answers to, but I don't really grasp their answers. But that doesn't make me dishonest. I can still have the attitude of heart to say, Lord Jesus, I love you. I believe you died for me. And you show me your will, and whatever your will is, I'll do it. And I tell you, that's wisdom. It's wisdom that goes beyond the wisdom of a keen mind, as important as that might be. And if we'll come to Jesus with empty hands, or hands that are willing to be empty, for he'll fill our hands and ask us to use what he puts in our hands. But we come, as far as we're concerned, with nothing. And if we'll come with that attitude of simple obedience, I tell you, the cross of Christ then becomes power. Power to transform our lives, to make us more than we dreamed we could be. And the cross of Jesus Christ becomes great wisdom. Paul Ayala was on campus this week. It was my privilege to have a meal with him and break bread with him. By the way, he said when he came around the corner and saw this building here, he said it was spontaneous. It just came out of his mouth loud. Praise the Lord. He had been here many times before and now came around to see this sanctuary rising up. About 20 years ago, Paul Ayala, a very bright and promising young minister, got the assignment to go to Haiti. Haiti was a mission field, much like any other mission field. And to make a long story short, during the administration time of Paul Ayala, when he was mission director in Haiti, there was a tremendous breakthrough, and Haiti became the miracle of the Church of the Nazarene for a period of time, and just absolutely mushroomed, and tremendous depth of growth took place there. And Paul Ayala was one, perhaps the key human instrument in finding what he called the culture keys and letting God use him. Paul Ayala, as a part of his chapel message the other day, sat down and played the piano. And if you'll excuse my reference, he reminded me of Peter Nero, who's one of my favorite players, who can blend popular and classic. And Paul blended classic and religious in such a beautiful way as a master musician. When he got called to Haiti, there was no opportunity for him to take his piano along. He knew that it was goodbye to the piano. Piano was a major thing with Paul. Piano was one of his God-given gifts. But as far as he was concerned, his hands were empty and his heart was open. So off he went to Haiti. There was feeling in his heart of regret, and yet there was absolutely no hesitation. Yes, Lord. Yes, I will. We've already said what the result was of his 10 years in Haiti. Tremendous growth. But you know how God is. About 6 months after Paul had been there and laboring happily, one day a freighter came in and a great big crate was unloaded and shipped over, and somebody had sent Paul a brand new piano. It was set up in the missionary's home. All the time he was down there, one of his avocations and relaxations was that music that God is able to take and bless and use, even as he used this week. What am I saying? If you'll give to God, he'll give it back to you better. Not necessarily, but I am saying that God knows us and loves us and cares for us. And the preaching of the cross, as we come with empty hands, hands that are willing to give all, if we come with simple obedience, God will make the cross to us power and wisdom. Will you pray with me? Father, we've heard the preaching of the cross since before we could understand or read or write. We know that Jesus died for us. And yet this season, once again, we would come. God forbid that we would come in our own wisdom or come with our own preconceived ideas. God forbid that we would come seeking to use the cross of Jesus Christ. But help us to come humbly and say, Lord, here we are. Use us, fill us, bless us, we pray. And then, Father, as we look particularly down through the days of this immediate week that's looking at us, we pray that you'll open our hearts, empty our hands as need be, help us to sit at the foot of the cross, grant to us revival, we pray. Bless the one that's coming to minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen.